Hi, I'm Dr. Fidelio, and this is Go Beyond Greatness, Season 2, Episode 4. Today, I have the pleasure of interviewing an amazing person. Derek Capobianco is a recording artist and educator currently living in Brooklyn, New York, with 6 songs on iTunes and Spotify, including his most recent release single, Why Do I Still Care? Derek is on his way to a promising career as a recording artist. Keep up with Derek's music career, you can follow him on all social media platforms. Derek Capobianco Music on Facebook, at @der_cap on Twitter, and at Derek Capobianco Music on Instagram. Welcome, Derek!
Hey!
So how did you get started into singing? Like, what got you into it?
I have like memories of myself singing as a little kid, driving around in the car with my aunt, belting out to some Mariah Carey. My mom and aunt used to like tell me all the time, like I would like sit in the car and like hit rewind on the cassette and like go back to like the high notes and Hero by Mariah and just like try and do the whistle tones and stuff. And I just like always sang and stuff. But I actually grew up playing from like when I was like 5 to like 13, I grew up playing sports. So I did like karate, bowling, baseball, soccer, and like that was my thing. But like I was always known for like being like the team's cheerleader. So I would always sing like little like rah-rah, shish boom bah things on the side. And I just always knew that I loved to sing. I just never saw it as being like a career or something to make it out of. Just because I was so into playing sports. But I really started to like accept my love of singing, I would say like in middle school, like 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. I had a really hard time in middle school because I left my elementary school with all of my elementary school friends, and I moved out of the neighborhood that I went to school in. And I went from being someone that was very like outgoing and fun and always smiling to someone that was like very like closed off and shy. And it wasn't until my music teacher took contact to my mom because she heard me singing in class and like wanted me to like explore that more, that I really started to accept that singing was something that I wanted to do. Like I remember being in The Wizard of Oz like as like the first show in 8th grade and just being, I was the head jitterbug in the Mayor of Munchkin City, and I remember like getting like the applause at the end of like a number, and I was like, ooh, this is, I like this better than soccer, I like this better than baseball. And like ever since then I just kind of like stood with that, and here I am now. So yeah, definitely middle school, and like my middle school music teacher is where I like really accepted that singing was like my true passion in life.
And do you like consider yourself like a singer or a performer or both? Because I mean, oftentimes like you'll see some of the most coolest people perform live, mm-hmm. and they also sing really well too. And you kind of formulate this thing in your head where you're like, wow, they're really good performers. No, they're good singers. No. They're like good at both. Like they got the little jiggy going on there. Like they're a good performer, you know, they got good vocal cords there. They can hit those notes. And so they're good singers. How do you, and what do you consider yourself, like a little bit of both? I don't know. My dad always said, you know, a good performer can tell a story through music.
Totally.
Like just singing, like just standing there, you know, that's a good performer. Yeah, a person that can tell a story.
Yeah.
So how would you consider yourself? What would you consider yourself?
I would definitely consider myself a performer, like, and singer. Like, I feel that like my musical theater background, like, has made me into a performer. Like, anytime that I do a show, it's normally like a high energy show. Like, I've headlined like Rhode Island Pride a few times, and like I put on a show, like choreography, dancers, like remixing my songs, like adding that element of like, this is a pop show, I'm gonna give you dance, I'm going to give you vocals, and I really wanna give the audience like a full like shebang, you know what I mean? As if you were going to see like an Ariana Grande or like NSYNC back in the day, like you really go see like a performer. So you see dancing, you get good vocals. And that's something that I like to pride myself on, is that for like my entire life, no matter any time that I was performing, whether it be in musical theater or pop, like everyone was like, you're a singer and you need to focus on the vocals, and like your voice is gonna be the thing that takes you to like beyond what you are doing. And I was like, yes, I can sing, but I'm also the type of person that I don't want to just stand there with a microphone and sing a song and just like let the vocals portray a message or a mo. And I really enjoy becoming a performer and like letting that wall down, because for so long I was told I was only going to be a singer. But I pushed myself to dance. I pushed myself to show another side of me as a performer. And that's why I consider myself both, because I know I can stand and do, like I was classically trained. So if I needed to sing a classical aria, like I know I'd be able to handle that. But for me, like my love of performing is when I am like a performer and I have like the dancers and like the cool effects on my sound, or like remixing my songs but still giving you like vocals. And I like making sure that I have live vocals at my shows or when I perform and stuff. So I would say both.
When was the moment, Derek, that you were like, oh my gosh, this is what I'm supposed to be doing, this is exactly what I need in my life, this is what I should be doing, this is the pathway that I need to be walking down?
I definitely would say like I realized it when I was in middle school. Like I loved performing after like being in musicals and stuff. And I really thought for a long time that like musical theater was what I was going to do long term. Like I went to college for it. I worked professionally across the country doing shows. And I love being a musical theater performer, but my heart always has lied on like the pop aspect of like entertainment. And when I think about that aspect of it, like I remember when Britney Spears, NSYNC, Backstreet Boys were all coming out in like the late
90s
in front of the TV, like watching their Disney Channel concerts from Walt Disney World, and like learning the choreography and like watching music videos and like studying it. And just like, I was so like fan, like I loved it. Like I was so obsessed with it that I knew everything. I knew all the choreography, like Oops, I Did It Again, like I knew it all.
Yeah.
And I just knew that like as I was going through my musical theater career, like I was like, yes, I'm doing this now, but like my heart is on like the pop, like fun, like entertainment aspect of it. Like I loved the spectacle, I loved like the show of it all. Mm-hmm. And so I would say like I realized that like at a young age, like around the time that like Britney and Backstreet Boys and NSYNC and Christina all started coming out. But like I really accepted that when I was in college, because I knew that what I was doing in school, like I loved it. But that's when I really started to explore recording and like performing as like a pop artist, like towards the end of my college career.
I think for me, like I really started to discover like pop culture around the time where there was like all the blonde vixens were coming out in the late 90s. You had Britney Spears, you had Christina Aguilera, you had Mandy Moore, you had Jessica Simpson, and then you had this redhead all of a sudden, Vitamin C, you know, with the graduation song. And you know, and there was more, you know, there's more that started coming up, you know, and it was just like, who's gonna win it? Who's gonna get it? You know, and I just started falling in love with just pop culture in general, and just keeping up tabs with what was happening and all of that in the music industry, but also like in the movie industry too. During that time, it was really fun to see everything happen and unfold. So I totally understand where you're coming from. Yeah, middle school definitely played a big role for me in that.
And I think too, like with stuff like American Idol, like I have auditioned for American Idol so many times, but like I'm like an like dedicated fan. Like I've watched every season from Kelly Clarkson to this current season now with the reboot. And it's like, I'm watching it now. Obviously, like I just passed the age limit of like not being able to audition anymore. So watching it this year for me is like a totally different experience. Whereas like before, I'm like, oh, I should be up there, or I could do that, or like, oh, I understand why this one. But like now I'm watching it and I'm really like exploring it and I'm like, ooh, if I knew this now, would things be different back then? But like shows like American Idol, X Factor, The Voice, America's Got Talent, I feel like those really played a part too into like where I like started to be like, oh, this is what I want to do for a career, because it opened my eyes to being like, oh, like this is someone who was working like at a coffee shop yesterday and today they're on the biggest stage in the world and winning a singing competition. And it was just something that for me, I was like, I can do this. And as I've gone older, I'm like, it may not be this like American Idol stage, but I'm still able to do it and work my way up to bigger events and stuff. And like, it's just something, I love it. Like I love every aspect of it.
Who's your favorite idol? And you don't have to say Kelly Clarkson just cause she's from Texas, cause I'm from Texas. But I mean, who's your favorite idol?
My like winner or contestant?
Just contestant.
Okay. I would say contestant is David Archuleta. Just because I felt like he was the artist that I, like when he was 16, I was 16, and he was like the artist that I could like relate to the most. Like people used to be like, oh, you look like him or you resemble him. And I was like, yeah, I kind of do. Yeah. And
I like,
what?
I did vote for him. Yeah.
Yes, me too. I was like every week, 1-866 Idols 03, David Archuleta, like, let's go. And I just like always idolized him in a way because I was like, ooh, we have like similar vocal styles and like what he was doing was stuff that I wanted to do. So he was like my favorite overall, but I definitely like close second, Catherine McPhee. Like,
oh wow, somewhere over
in 2006 was my jam. So
yeah,
I do love me some Catherine McPhee.
She did a fabulous Somewhere Over the Rainbow, I think, in one of those episodes.
That's my favorite song of all time, Somewhere Over the Rainbow, and her version is like my all-time fave.
Wow. So your song, Single, Taken, Complicated, you have a lot of different songs on iTunes and on Google Play. I have most of them. But your song, Single, Taken, Complicated, is like my summer anthem song. It's like such a fun song. I really enjoyed it because it's poppy, it's fun, it's bubblegum, it's giving me a little bit of Jawbreaker there. It's just fun song. Yeah. And I work out to it every now and then. So I'm like, it gets me going. You know, it's a good, fun, upbeat song.
It's got that beat going. It's like that driving motion. So yeah, I understand where you're coming from.
So tell me about this next song. When I first heard it last month, when it was released last month, Derek, I do have to say it was a huge departure for me. I'm one of those people that I refuse to listen to like the 15 seconds or the 20 seconds. Like if I know I like the artist, I'm going to do it. That's how I am with like Lana Del Rey. Like I'm like, I love Lana Del Rey. Anything that she produces and gets out, like I'll just like download it and buy it. Mm-hmm. Right. So it was like that for me, for you. And so, but it was a huge departure. It was like, Whoa, this is different. This is like a different side of you, like a different chapter or a different book. That song, Why Do I Still Care, really resonated with me on a deeper note, but I really wanted to get like what it meant for you when you were kind of like breaking that down.
So Why Do I Still Care is definitely a different sound for me as an artist, and it's a huge departure, like you said, from the songs that I previously released. So songs like Heart Stop Speeding and One Way that are like those upbeat like pop summer jam anthems, and Single, Taken, Complicated, which is mine too, is a personal fave of mine. Why do I Still Care is like my like departure from like those upbeat poppy dance songs into like tapping into a really vulnerable place for me. So like writing Heart Stop Speeding and Single, Taken, Complicated, like I just based it off of like past like experiences that weren't my own. So like stories that I've heard of friends or just experiences of life, like Single Take and Complicated, I wrote about like social media. So like when those boxes used to wear out and it was like Single Take and Complicated, or like Single Take and like I'm too busy watching Netflix or stuff like that. Like that's what that song was really based off of. And like how like social media was like tapping into relationships, like you're seeing things but you just don't know, like let me know. So that, like, those were more of like, okay, I'm gonna write like a fun pop song, and it just was like something fun that like I whipped up and I was like, oh, I like this a lot, and we went with it. But Why Do I Still Care came to be during a really like vulnerable and like emotional time in my life, where I had, we're gonna get deep here.
Oh my gosh.
I had been interested in a relationship that was like happening, but it was like very complicated. There were many layers to it and everything. And after like, I wanna say at least a year and a half of like trying to navigate what was going to be of this relationship, I like remember like sitting down like a couple weeks before I had been planning to go out to LA because my goal was to move out to California and pursue music. And I knew I had studio time and I was like, okay, like I had a few lyrics of Why Do I Still Care? And I like remember like the first part of the song that I wrote were the lyrics, the beginning of the chorus, which is no matter how hard I tried or how much I gave, I just had the like that line, and I'm like, that's something that always kept running through my head, was like, no matter what I do or how much I give, like I keep trying to save something. And I just remember sitting there and I really started to like just like hum it out, and like the lyrics just like, it was one of those songs where like my other songs, they took a while to write like the lyrics to, but Why Do I Still Care was something that after I looked at those two lines like over and over, it was like the words just came out of me, because it literally, like the lyrics of that song are like my exact feelings of my like emotional process of that point in my life. Like I was head over heels with someone who kept like leading me on, I guess, or like just like saying like, yes, something's gonna happen, but then nothing ever would, or something would happen and then it didn't go anywhere. And it was like, is it yes? Is it no? Like, what's going on? And I'm like, why do I keep trying to like save this relationship when all that it's doing is still, it's hurting me? And like,
it takes to be like honestly the biggest person in a relationship to say it's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going anywhere. And it's hard to say goodbye, but sometimes to say goodbye is the way you say, I still love you, but I'm afar.
Right.
And in order to love you, I have to let you go.
Right. And like this song really was like my moment for me where I was like, it's time to like, this chapter's over, this book is closed. Like, it's time for me to put this book away and move on. Like,
right.
Like if all the lyrics, if all of my tears have been cried and feelings buried in the grave, but if it wasn't there and never was, then tell me why. Why do I still care? Like, there was something there, but then there wasn't. So like, if there really wasn't anything there and you keep telling me like, we're just better off as friends, but then you're like showing me differently in other ways, like, why do I care about this? Why am I so hung up and like driving myself crazy over something and someone who just didn't feel the same way? And it took a while for me because like dating in general, when I was dating, like I like never really like allowed myself to open up to people. Like people would ask me out or I would go out with people, and it was and like I would go, but I was always so closed off because I was so afraid of getting hurt, that like I like when I did allow myself to open up to someone that I like trusted because we have a history of knowing each other. Like, I thought we were on the same page, and then it just like just weirdly one day took a turn, and I'm like, well, what did I do? Like what is going on? Like, it was just, there were so many questions. And after a while, it was like, okay, like, it's time to focus on me. And I like went through like a really big change in my life, and I wrote Why Do I Still Care, and I started recording it. But when I recorded it, it took a long time for me to finish it because it was so personal, and because I was so vulnerable with the lyrics of it. Like, I really didn't want to just like record it and put it out. Like with the other songs, like my song Heart Stops Beating, it took like, I think I recorded the vocals for that in like a 2-hour session. And then like, it was up to the engineer to like do their thing. Whereas like Why Do I Still Care took about, like, I started writing it in 2014 and I just put it out.
Wow.
Now, like over the years, like I've went back and recorded different parts of it.
Is it because it was like such an emotional song that you had to just, you know, record parts of it and then take a break and then go back in and?
Yes, but like the majority of the vocals I remember recording in the initial like sessions back in 2014. So like there were like over like, I would say 3 or 4 sessions that happened in like the end of 2014. And then I sat with the song for a while because at that point I had just gotten into a new relationship, and I was like, I don't really want to focus on this part of me right now because I don't want to keep revisiting it, because it brought me back to a place of like her, and like just
sure.
Just hearing the lyrics of it like put those memories in my head, and I was like, I am developing a relationship with someone new that I actually do see a future with and do care and love, and I don't want my feelings for someone else to come in the way of that. So I kind of tucked it away for a little bit, and then I revisited it at the end of 2015 and the beginning of 2016. And I went back and after listening to certain things, I like re-recorded, I didn't change lyrics, but I re-recorded some of the vocals because I felt that the way that I sang certain lines and stuff just didn't, like, I was happy in my relationship in 2016, and I like thinking back to those moments of like what my feelings were, the way I sang certain song like parts of it didn't for me like tell that story. So like I felt like I was just singing it like to get the lyrics out, but the actual quality of my voice or like the emotion, the dynamics didn't match what I was singing. So I went back and like made things a little more like tender in certain areas, or I changed the melody. And then in the chorus, I just like sang it out because like, I felt like the chorus was like my like cry. So like when I cried during that time, it wasn't like a tear or two, it was like waterfall. Or like, I would just sit by myself and be like, why am I so upset about this? Like, why is this bothering me? So like, it sits so high in my register during the chorus because I feel like it represents like me crying out like for help, or like to my family and my friends to like venting about this, like, why do I care about this? Like, why can't I just like let go of these feelings, you know? Mm-hmm. So I just went back and I like re-recorded some things, and then I sat on it for another 2 years because I wasn't sure that I was ready to put it out because it was so vulnerable to me. And then like, I'm getting married in June, and I like at the end of 2018, I just kind of was like, you know what? Like, I'm in the relationship that I'm in for almost 5 years now. And like those feelings, like I look back at it and I'm like, I'm so thankful I had that time in my life, but I'm like, I'm ready to just like put this song out there. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
I've sang it live 2 times, I think, in like small settings. And like, I obviously get like mentally pulled back to that time in my life, but I can like sing it in like a way that I'm like emoting and being like in like a thankful way. Like I
like
have
a master of your own emotions.
Yes, like yeah. It's like being able to just like be thankful for that time because it helped me and to be the person I am in my relationship now. And
wow, that's deep.
Yeah, it's just
deep.
The song means a lot, and the first time I did sing it live, like I got choked up a little bit, but it's just, we all go through those situations where you like think you're going to be with someone forever or think that things are going to work out, and you put yourself out there, and like I was hurt really bad. And anyone that knows me during that time knows that I was like kind of going through it. But I came out stronger in the end and happier
Absolutely.
Than I could ever be. So I'm happy that I was able to put the song out there, but it came from a really, really dark, like emotional time in my life.
Well, I know that you're helping so many people that are going to be hopefully seeing this episode. So I just want to say thank you, because I know that's a really tough question. It's a simple question, like as far as like where did this song come from,
of
but
course.
It's deep, obviously long, you know.
Yeah, because like sorry, go ahead.
No, it is a time and a place. And this song, many people think when they think or hear a song, oh, you know, it was like you said, you know, recorded like last year and released this year, but the emotions behind it aren't just 1 year. The emotions behind it are deep rooted. And so yeah. I thought that that was a really good way. Thank you for answering that.
Yes. It's like you said, like, it's funny because like my song One Way, for instance, like the inspiration from that literally came from me being stopped at a red light and staring at a one-way sign on a street. And I just started going, one way for us. And it's like, I was like, oh, and like, I just kept humming that melody over and over in my head. And then I was like, okay, like what happens when you're on the road? And I'm like, okay, I'm stuck at a red light, hit the brakes, like things like that. And then the lyrics just came and I was like, okay, I just wrote a fun pop song. And then like, all from staring at a one-way sign. But then like you have something like, Why Do I Still Care? That like, is like, it's like vulnerable. Like you go to a place and I just like, I wrote the lyrics and it was just like, it was therapeutic, but it like means something. And there are so many people that go through the same thing. And it's like, it's nice to know that people are going to hear it and hopefully listen to it and be like, wow, like I can get through this, or like I can let go of this person or this relationship or whatever their story may be, and like move on and be stronger in the end. So.
What's your favorite part? Would it be the singing part, the maybe like the early writing part, or the recording part, or the releasing of the song part? What would you be like your favorite part?
The releasing part is definitely fun, but I would actually say that it's my like least favorite, because like the anticipation of like putting a song out there and then like having people like either love it or tear it apart, like. I love releasing like the release part obviously is like the end goal, but it's terrifying. Like you're like, oh, are people gonna like this? Like, does it resonate with people? But I would definitely say that my favorite part of the like songwriting process would be like actually recording the song, because like that's where I feel like the song like takes flight, because you listen to like the beginning stages of the song and you're like, okay, like, yeah, like I have a voice note and this could be like a really great song. But then like you get into the studio and you hear like the engineer, or you get on with the engineer and you start working on like the beat and like the sounds, like what sounds are going to go in, like what's the kick gonna sound like, what's the, like, are we gonna put horns, are we gonna make it synthetic, like what you do. And it's like, okay, it's like a puzzle piece. It's like, okay, we're gonna take a little bit of this, 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 and we're gonna layer it. And then you're like, ooh, this is too much. And then you start taking away, and then you add vocals and harmonies. So the recording process is definitely my favorite, because I feel like you can really do whatever. Like Single Take and Complicated was the song that took the longest to record, but I had the most fun recording that song, because what Single Take and Complicated is now is completely different than what we initially started writing it as. and then like the version that was supposed to be Single Taken Complicated, and then I was like, no, I don't like this. Like, we were like about to rap, and I was like, nope, we gotta like scrap it, and we took certain things that we liked, and we started over, and then Single Taken was born. But that was my favorite song to do because like we literally took ideas from so many different places and like layered harmonies and background vocals and ad-libs, and like that was like my like favorite part to do, and like especially with the other songs, like I just love the recording part of it.
And that song, Single Taken Complicated, could totally be like an acoustic song too. Mm-hmm. Like I can totally hear you singing it with just a light guitar in the background and just mellowing it out and just having like a nice little ballad version of it.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that is awesome. So next part. Yeah.
Weeks ago. So.
There you go. Oh wait, I do have a question. What kind of music do we hear or do we see coming down the pipeline from Derek, from you, like in the future? I mean, yeah. This last one was good. It was really like empowering and deep. I felt it. Mm-hmm. It was different. And it was the first song that I also noticed that you weren't on the cover of it. It was like a storm. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is like deep stuff.
Yeah.
So what kind of music do we plan to hear more of in the future? I'm just curious.
I definitely have a few more songs that come from that very like vulnerable place, but they're about different like situations that I've been in life, like family stuff or just like personal battles. But I definitely am looking to release some more fun dance pop music in the future.
Could this be like the Derek Blackout? Or
I mean, I'm definitely my goal for like the next year and a half is to really try and get back into the studio more because right now it's been difficult. I'm planning the wedding and I'm like teaching full time, but I'm still performing, but I just really want to get back into the studio, and my goal would be to like put out maybe like a 6-7 song EP or even try and go for that full like 10 to 12 song album. But I would definitely bring it towards more like a Sam Smithy, like Ariana Grande mix type album. So yeah, I'm definitely like, it's like it would be a blend of like Sam Smith and Ariana Grande, like those fun upbeat songs, but then those really deep like,
That's all I need to hear. Like, I'm excited and I can't wait, and it's gonna be a good time. So this next part is the speed round of fun questions.
Ooh.
Dun dun dun. Are you ready?
I think so.
Favorite female singer?
Demi Lovato.
Favorite male singer?
Sam Smith.
Favorite song to listen to on a road trip?
Anything Spice Girls.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's a good one. I really, 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 really want to zig zig. Ah.
Yeah.
If you want to be my lover.
Yeah.
Favorite song to get the party started?
I would say Thank You Next. That's like my current jam right now.
Okay, and you know, for me, it's like, I basically put it in there. I was like, favorite song to get the party started is like Pink.
Yes.
Down, so you better get the party
yes.
started.
Yes.
I'm coming.
I think some new Kelly Clarkson. She's got some like good upbeat jams that I like love to like pump.
Oh,
but
yeah.
She's got some good ones too. Like, she's a good get the party started girl.
Yeah. So fly a plane or navigate a submarine?
Submarine. I don't think I would like flying a plane at all. Mm-mm.
I don't know if I like either one, but I think that if I had to choose, it'd be probably fly a plane, because everybody knows, or not everybody knows how to do it, but I'm just saying everybody does it. And a submarine, it's like you're closed off, but you're also closed off in a plane too.
Yeah, so. I think I would actually feel like more comfortable navigating underwater, because like, yes, you could sink, but like, I think sinking for me would be less worrisome than like dropping from the sky. I don't think I would. Like if something was to go wrong, like that's what I'm thinking of. And I don't trust myself landing a plane either. Like you go on the airplane and it lands on the runway and like that like impact where you're like, okay, is this plane ever gonna stop? Like I wouldn't like that. Like a submarine, from my understanding of a submarine, is like when it's gonna land, it just like floats back up to the top. You know what I mean? It's kind of like a more gentle process. So I would say submarine.
If you could push a button and make everyone in the world a better singer, would you push it? That's a tough one. That's a really, really tough one if you think about it.
Yeah, because then you'd have everyone be good at something that not everyone's good at now. But then also you would save your eardrums from people that aren't good. I would say that I guess that would be nice and hit the button to make everyone sing. Because then everyone can like be one big chorus. But yeah, I would hit the button.
That's a really good answer. That's a really good, I did not take it from
music
that.
Music heals, right? So I guess like if you're talking about like the overall thing, like career-wise, would it be smart? No. But like for everyone's mental health and like personally, like if everyone could sing, then like I know for me, like I express my emotions through songwriting and singing. So like, and for me, that's a way of like, it's like therapeutic. So if that could be for everyone, then maybe there'd be less hate in the world and more love. So we're definitely gonna hit the button.
Wow. Well, yeah. Thank you so much for, you know, doing this podcast episode with me, and you definitely need to come back. Are you willing to come back?
I would love to. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. So that's basically it for today for this episode. And until next time, bye.